So just briefly on that first reading, this long reading from the book of Genesis, as we've been going through, reading about the patriarchs. So we have Abraham, his son Isaac, and now we have the story of Isaac's two sons, Esau and Jacob. Where Esau was the favored one, but through deception and lying and manipulation, the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau was given to Jacob. Jacob becomes Israel, from which we get the Israelites, and the land and the territories and the land that we call Israel now comes from this person called Jacob. So this is the beginnings, the very roots of our history of salvation we see to come here. And so we see that it's not perfect. You know, God's will is done. God's will be accomplished. And it's up to us to learn to hear his voice so we can understand his will and then do it. Because there are consequences if we don't do his will, but his will be accomplished. And so it can give us hope when we hear about the characters from the Old Testament whose lives were less than perfect, who willfully made poor choices, acted against God's holy will. There's always a chance for redemption, always a chance for healing and restoration. And so when we look at the quote-unquote sins of the Old Testament, we don't use that as an excuse to forget it and reject it because it's all a bunch of lies. But we use it as a mirror to reflect our own life, our own faults, our own failures, our own misdeeds. That even though I have been less than perfect, there's still hope for me. Because even in these grave offenses from the Old Testament, we still see God's love and his mercy coming forth. And so we can look with that again with the eyes of hope. And this passage from Matthew continues directly from yesterday. And if you were not here yesterday, Jesus called Matthew from the tax collector's post to be his disciple. He said, "Follow me." Then they went and had a big feast. And the Pharisees' first question was, why does he eat with sinners and tax collectors? And today the question is, why don't they fast? The Pharisees had locked in their mind how things were supposed to be. There was grave corruption in government and in religion, and they were waiting for the Messiah, and they thought if they did everything perfectly, and if they separated themselves from everybody else, then they would be the one to make to set the table, to say it. They would set the table so that Jesus would come, that the Messiah would come. And so here comes this man claiming to be Jesus, and he's not doing the things that they do. He's not acting the way they expect him to act. And so they're questioning, why don't you do this? Why do you do this? Don't we have the same experience? Don't we have an idea of how things are supposed to be? Whether in our families, in our country, or in the church. And when things don't go according to our own plan, do we have enough faith in Jesus to ask him why things are different than what we expected? Or do we harden our hearts and begin to scoff? And like they did to Jesus, eventually kill him? Do we push Jesus completely out of our life because he's not conforming to our idea of how things are supposed to be? And this is that beautiful response from Jesus. It might be a little confusing for us today because we don't make wine. We don't have wine and wineskins. And as far as patching old clothes, most of us are buying clothes with holes in them already. So we don't want to even patch the clothes. So this really doesn't make any sense to us. But when you put new wine, so when you put wine into a wineskin, right, it says it would stretch, it would expand. And so if you have a pouch that's already expanded and you put new wine in there and that began to expand, it would burst. It was no longer good for what it was meant for. It couldn't hold what it was supposed to hold. Christ is talking about our hearts. He's talking about our minds. Are we allowing the new wine, which is the Holy Spirit, to radically change our lives so we can be radically reoriented towards Him? Or do we stay stuck in our expectations and our own desires, our own wants for life? This is what causes there to be bursting, for there to be tears in the cloth and the wine to be wasted. This is what causes the lies and the manipulation and the corruption, because we are not humble enough to accept what Jesus says. Ask the questions, especially for our young people. Ask the questions. It's okay. We don't always understand. The people who walked with Jesus every day didn't understand. But trust that His answer is the answer. And then ask for the grace to have our lives changed so that we can walk in the newness of life. We don't fast when the bridegroom is here. We fast when He's been taken away. And He has been taken away. We're waiting for Him to come back. This is why we fast on a regular basis, not just during Lent, but fasting should be a regular part of the disciples' life. What are you attached to? What have you put first in your life? What is it in your life that's keeping you from surrendering everything to Jesus Christ? Fast from those things. Let the new wine of Jesus Christ change your life today and every day.